Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as we are about to get into your word this morning, Father, we do pray for hearts that would desire to be obedient to you. Help us, Father, to walk the straight path that you have laid out before us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our message from last week was entitled Obeying God. And in that message, we saw that obedience to God is the key, not a key, the key to living a joyful, victorious Christian life. I told you last week, there's no such thing as a happy, disobedient Christian. However, the way we're wired, unless we have a real good reason to obey, we probably won't. So last week, I gave you four reasons to obey God. This is a quick review. Reason number one, obedience is a duty to be performed. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the apostle Peter tells the high priest and the Sanhedrin, who told them, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Peter said, we must obey God rather than men. Reason number two for obedience, friend, it's a debt to be paid. Acts chapter 5, again, verses 30 through 32, Peter describes how Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross so that our sins would be forgiven. So it's like this, Jesus paid our debt of sin. Because of that, we owe him a debt of obedience. Reason number three, you need to obey God. Friend, it's a delight to be preferred. Verse 41, we're told that the apostles rejoiced that they had been counted worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And reason number four, obedience to God is a decision to be practiced. Friend, God will not force you to obey him. God will not force you to love him. It's a choice that you have to make. You must make the decision whether you're going to obey or disobey. Now, that's last week's message condensed to about 45 seconds there. So we're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 42. Same passage we studied last week. Title of the message is cleverly titled Obeying God Part 2. Now, we have just reviewed the reasons for obedience. Now let's shift gears and let us look at the requirements for obedience. See, how can you obey God if you don't know what he wants you to do? Now, the apostles had received a command from God. They knew what they were supposed to do. Back in verse 17 of chapter 5 and here in Acts, we're told that because of their mighty preaching and the miracles the apostles were performing, the high priest and all of his associates were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles. They put them in jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord came and opened the door of the jail and brought them out. I told you last week, this was the very first sanctified jailbreak. In verse 20, listen to this message that this angel of God gives to the apostles. He says, I know you guys got put in jail for preaching about Jesus, but here's what God wants you to do. Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people this full message of this new life. He says, I want you to go do what got you thrown in jail in the first place. And verse 21 tells us that's exactly what these men did. They were told what to do and they did it. All true obedience is informed obedience. You got to hear from God in order to obey God. And don't make the mistake of just doing whatever you feel like doing and then hope God blesses it. Right? Don't make the mistake of just doing whatever you feel like doing and think that you're living some good Christian life. Whatever God does not initiate, God does not appreciate. See, there's a little rhyme even Johnny Cochran would be impressed with. Now, through the power of his word, through the power of his Holy Spirit, God is going to speak to your heart and he's going to tell you what to do. That's informed obedience. The second requirement for obedience, there must be intentional obedience. What I mean is this: being obedient to God is more than just refraining from doing sinful things. It's going to God on a daily basis and saying, God, I belong to you. Please let me know what you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. This old time Southern Baptist evangelist years ago, this guy's name was Junior Hill, and he said that every morning when he woke up, here's how he started his day. He would wake up in the morning and he would say, good morning, General Jesus, Private Hill reporting for duty. I like that. Amen. Have you all reported for duty this morning? Somebody says, well, I'd like to do what God wants me to do, but I don't know what he wants me to do. It's not my fault. Well, there's a possibility if you don't know what he wants you to do, it is your fault. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 34. Listen to this. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Are you listening for God's instructions, or is it possible you're ignoring them? Are you reporting for duty? Are you saying, good morning, General Jesus? Here I am, and I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. Folks, that's what it means to have intentional obedience. Requirement number three, there must be immediate obedience. In verse 28, the high priest says, look here, Peter, we gave you and your buddies orders to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Look at Peter's reply. The very next verse, he says, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as the prince and savior. The high priest said, don't do that. And Peter did it. The high priest said, don't preach about Jesus. Peter responds to what he said by immediately preaching about Jesus. He immediately responds by doing what the guy told him not to do. If God has told you to do something, you need to do it immediately. Procrastination, it's a form of disobedience. The best time to do the will of God is as soon as you find out what his will is. You say, well, I don't understand why he wants me to. You understand the why can wait. Your obedience can't wait. Or in the words of Alfred Lloyd Tennyson, ours is not to make reply. Ours is not the reason why. Ours is but to do or die. And friends, don't ever try to put a question mark where God has put a period. Our obedience needs to be immediate. Here's requirement number four. There must be inflexible obedience. That means we cannot compromise our obedience to God no matter what the cost is. Think about the situation these apostles were in. They knew their obedience to God could very well result in their deaths at the hand of evil men. Look back at verse 33. It says here, after the high priest and the Jewish council heard what the apostles said, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Preaching about Jesus in those days was dangerous. These men preached with a death sentence hanging over their head every single day. Inflexible obedience is obedience no matter what. Today, we got a whole lot of Christians in America that prefer selective obedience instead of inflexible. And that's not obedience at all. It reminds me of this old story. Some of you may know this. This old story about this guy that was bragging to one of his friends about how smart his dog was. He goes, man, I got the smartest dog. This dog is so smart, it's just unbelievable what he knows. And the guy says, really? What can he do? He said, check this out. Whenever I get ready to go somewhere, all I got to do is look at my dog and say, hey, I'm getting ready to leave. Are you coming with me or not? Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. He's super smart. A lot of us are the same way when it comes to obeying God. We like to decide whether or not we're going to do what God told us to do. Folks, that is selective obedience. And as I told you, that's not obedience at all. Requirement number five, there must be impassioned obedience. This is something we need today. That means doing the will of God from our heart. Telling these apostles not to preach the gospel of Jesus was like telling the sun it better not shine. These men were filled with passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. You got a passion for God today? May God forgive our lukewarm, half-hearted obedience. If you're going to serve God, serve him with some joy. Serve him with some emotion. That's impassioned obedience. Now, we have reviewed the reasons for obedience. We have looked at the requirements for obedience. Now I want to talk to you about the good part, the rewards for obedience. When you obey God, three things are going to happen. Number one, when you obey God, the first reward is this: the Spirit will be received. Look at verse 32. Here's what the apostles said. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Do you really want spiritual power in your life? God is not going to give spiritual power to rebels. Why should God release the anointing power of his Holy Spirit upon your life if you're not going to live in obedience to him? God pours out his Holy Spirit on people who obey him. There are some people God does not trust with spiritual power. By a show of hands, how many of y'all in here have ever taught a teenager to drive a car? A whole bunch of you. Now, that'll strengthen your prayer life, right?
Yes, sir.
If you have ever taught a teenager how to drive, one of the first things, maybe the first thing, you said when you got in the car is, hey, you see that one? That's the brake. You show them that before you show them the gas pedal, right? This is the brake. This is how you stop this thing. Now, imagine for a moment that you tell the teenager that, and they respond to you by saying, I don't care about the brake, man. I want to know where the accelerator is. I'm not interested in stopping. I'm only interested in going. You would have took those keys back, put them in your pocket, and said, you're not ready. Now, in the same way, friends, you will never know the release of God's Holy Spirit until you first learn the restraint of God's Holy Spirit. Or as Adrian Rogers used to say, you will never know the go until you know the no. And even if you're not particularly rebellious, why should God fill you with his Holy Spirit? What are you going to do with it? This reminds me of an old familiar story. I'm sure some of you guys have heard this before, but there was a man, this is back in the old days when all gas stations were called full service. So, you know, you drive over the little air hose and you hear ding, ding, and then the guy comes out and he'll wash off your windshield and do all of that stuff, right? They put gas in it. You didn't have to get out. So this guy pushes, he pushes his car into the service station. This thing's a bucket of rust. It's got three flat tires, a cracked windshield, headlights are busted out, and a freezing oil leaking all over the ground from this thing. Don't even have a battery in it. The service station attendant comes out. He goes, what can I do for you, man? The guy says, fill her up. The service station attendant looks at it and goes, what for? We got Christians today in our churches who say, Oh, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God looks at the way they're living and he says, what for? Why should I give my Holy Spirit to you? God pours out his Spirit on the children that obey him. And if you don't have power in your life, it's because you're living in disobedience. So what are the rewards for obedience? Number one, the Spirit will be received. Number two, joy is achieved. Look at verse 41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. See, when you obey the Lord, you're going to become a joyful Christian. Disobedient Christians are not joyful Christians at all. And if there's something we need in church today, it is more joyful Christians. So when we obey, the Spirit will be received. Joy will be achieved. And number three, the gospel is believed. Look at verse 42. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Now, how come they did that? Because they were obeying God. Has God given you a command to share the gospel of Jesus? You bet he has. Now, what's the alternative to obeying God? It's disobedience. And what's the result of that? You got no peace. You got no joy. You got no spiritual power. God has given you a command to share the gospel. Well, that begs the question, well, if I obey God, will he bless my obedience and pour out his Holy Spirit on me? We got our answer in the very first part of verse 1 in chapter 6. Listen to this. Here's the answer. Will God bless what I'm doing? In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, he was blessing what they were doing and increasing their numbers because they were being obedient. When you obey God, the Spirit is received, joy is achieved, and the gospel is believed. I'm going to tell you this. We have more than enough people in this sanctuary right now. We could turn Woodburn and Bunker Hill upside down and inside out for Jesus if we started being a little more obedient. But see, we got folks today, they think they're doing God a great big favor by showing up on Sunday every once in a while. There's people that come to church and they talk about, well, we're going to the service. That's not correct. This church is not the service. This is the service station. You hear me? This is the service station. The service is out there. That's where the service is. You come in here to get your spiritual tank filled, to receive some instructions, to receive and hopefully give somebody else some encouragement. So don't talk to me about how faithfully you attend, how beautifully you sing, how much money you put in the offering plate. I'm telling you, if you're not sharing Jesus, you're living in disobedience and you're guilty of high treason against the Almighty God. Now, I understand we're not all called to be preachers, but we can't all be reachers. God has called every single one of us to reach people with the gospel of Jesus. And if other churches are out there doing it, good. Praise God for them. I'm happy for the help. But we can't depend on somebody else to do what we're supposed to be doing. We need to say it's our responsibility. It is our duty. It's our joy. It's our privilege to be obedient to God and share his gospel with people. I want to take a minute to review and quickly go through some questions I asked you to think about last week. Has God been speaking to you about something? Is he telling you there's something he wants you to do? Is there something he wants you to give? Is there somebody you need to make restitution to? Somebody you need to seek reconciliation with? Somebody you just need to call and tell them you're sorry? I'm going to get real with you here for just a minute. I'm ashamed to have to tell you all this. But there have been times in my life when I've spoken to members in my own family in a way that is not becoming of a pastor. When that has happened, it did not take long for the Holy Spirit to bring some major conviction on my heart. God was telling me I was wrong. And there have been times when I've had to go to my darling wife or one of my beautiful children and tell them, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong of me. I love you, and I'm going to try to do better. Do not let things build up, folks. Don't let them fester. Do what God tells you to do when he tells you to do it. And if he's laid something on your heart, how come you haven't done it? Maybe it's some act of spiritual obedience he's calling you to do. And whatever your reasons are for not doing it, I can promise you this, God's not interested in your excuses. He doesn't want your excuses. He just wants your obedience. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. I'm asking you, is there an area in your life where you're disobeying God? The Bible's told us last week that disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft, that it is iniquity. It's like the sin of idolatry. Remember the story I told you last week about my two boys playing in the mud? One of them got out, one of them stayed in, and the one that stayed in got spanked. Listen, if you keep on playing in the mud after your father has told you to get out, the mud is not the problem. Your disobedience is the problem. Don't rebel against God. Trust him and obey him. As we close up, I'm reminded of another old story. I want to share this with you as we close. This story is about a man and his son who were living together. The wife and the mother in this family had passed away. So you got the dad there, and his son is around 18 years old. One very cold winter night, they're sitting there in the living room, and the fire that was warming the house, it was starting to die down. So the dad says, hey, son, would you please go outside and get another piece of wood and put it on the fire? And the son replies, no, Dad, I'm busy doing something, man. I don't want to do that. It's cold out there. And the dad says, come on, son. I mean, it's a small thing. I mean, you're living here in my house. I'm your dad. You're supposed to respect me and obey me. So, come on, man, will you get another piece of wood? And the kid says, no, I'm not going to do that. And the dad says, well, okay. This time, son, I'm telling you, go get a piece of wood and put it on the fire. And if you're not going to obey me, you're not going to be able to live under my roof anymore, son. So the kid jumps up. He says, oh, it's going to be like that. Okay. Then I won't live under your roof anymore. He storms upstairs. He packs a few things in a bag. He walks out and slams the door behind him. And he walks out of a warm house into the cold. Well, after a few months, this young man gets to thinking, I'm a fool. My dad loves me. He'd do anything for me. He asked me to do this one little thing, and in my pride and my arrogance, I turned my back on my own dear father. I wonder if he would ever forgive me and take me back. So he walks home. He knocks on the door. And when his dad opens the door and sees his son, he immediately gets teary-eyed. And his son says, Dad, I was such a fool. In my pride and my arrogance and my self-centeredness, I don't even know how to tell you. I'm so sorry, Dad. Can you please forgive me and let me come back and live with you? His dad threw his arms around him. He hugged his son. He kissed his son on the cheek. He said, welcome home, son. Now, before you sit down, go get another piece of wood and put it on the fire. There is no statute of limitations when it comes to obeying God. Don't think you can just blow by something he's telling you to do and eventually he's going to forget about it. He's God. He's not going to forget. And friend, if you've never been saved, obedience to God begins by believing on the Lord Jesus. Obey him by giving him your heart, by trusting him as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you are saved, but you're out of fellowship with him, I encourage you, confess your disobedience to him. Repent of that disobedience and rededicate your life to him today. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive us for our disobedience. Many of us, even though we have been adults for many, many years, we act like spoiled, disobedient kids. Father, forgive us. Father, give us the ability to be honest enough to confess our sins to you, that you might cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, give us hearts that seek to please you. Help us to do what you want us to do. Father, we pray that you would give this church a bountiful harvest of souls for you. Lord, give us a desire to get out there and get busy for you. There's a whole lot of people that need to be saved. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your love and your compassion for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. Hey, thank you all for being here. I love every single one of you. Just want to offer you a little word of encouragement, man. This week, make sure you're putting forth that effort to be obedient to what God tells you to do. Amen. Let's bow for the benediction. And may the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Thank you very much.